just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want.
Get ready to slap your forehead in astonishment as Backtime showcases the things you know you would have thought of eventually on August 15th. Upon the suggestion of Thomas Edison in 1877, American telephone operators switched their greetings from ahoy to hello. Crisco shortening introduced this date in 1911. And in 1943, because of his special talent to use food scraps in both unusual and appetizing recipes, the U.S. War Department awarded Sergeant Edward Zuba the Legion of Merit. No truth to the rumor, he gave it straight to Crisco. That's Back Time for August 15th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's Vinny Penn with your 760, the past 7 days in 60 seconds. Isaac Hayes passed away last weekend. Oh my God, they killed Chef, you bastards! Tori Spelling won't be doing the new 90210 after learning that Jenny Garth and Shannon Doherty will be getting paid more money. You know, that's what happens when Daddy no longer signs the checks. John Edwards admitted to an extramarital affair, which came as a shocker, because it wasn't with John Kerry. Hugh Hefner announced there'll be no more parties at the Playboy Mansion. The reason? The caterer refuses to do an early bird special. Speaking of mansions, David Hasselhoff's palatial estate is on the market. It's perfect for entertaining or just lounging around drunk on the carpet eating Wendy's. Finally, Olympic golden boy Michael Phelps stays in top form by eating 12,000 calories a day. Wow, if that's the case, Rosie O'Donnell's a shoo-in to win the decathlon. I'm Vinny Penn, and that was your 760.
A couple is devastated upon learning they can't have cats. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. John and Lane Welzy were grief-stricken today when test results indicated they would never be capable of having a kitten of their very own. According to John, the couple began planning for cats from the beginning, but sadly, raising one of their own just isn't in the cards.
We've been to dozens of specialists, and they all said the same thing. Lane just can't have a cat.
The Welzys have resigned themselves to a catless marriage and will now dedicate themselves to raising their six-month-old infant Charles instead. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger. It's 100 degrees and you're outside running. For you, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, hitting triple digits means showing off your six-pack abs and your room temperature IQ.
A heat stroke of genius.
5K, 10K, DOA.
End up like Jim Fix, yeah.
So the next time you're sitting in your air-conditioned car and see a man scamper along sizzling in the sun wearing sweat-soaked shorts, pay homage to this muggy day marathoner, Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger, a real American hero.
Mr. Summer Heatwave Jogger.
You know, it's not the heat, it's the stupid.
And now, from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show. It's Friday, July?
July. No, August. August. Don't confuse me, too.
August 15th. And the year is 2008, and we are here on Friday. We're going to be giving away the radio today.
Oh, I forgot about that. Exciting.
Yes, it's awesome. So I hope the callers that call during the week, I'm sure, in fact, that they will call. And we're going to give away the radio.
Awesome.
So that'll be great. And what else? Geez, I have so much to say, and I'm just like, everything's all over the place.
Have some coffee.
Yeah. So why don't we start with a couple of unimportant headlines there? You've got them in front of you.
The one that I saw that I think is absolutely hysterical is, rumor has it that Mary-Kate Olsen has been ordered to stop spending so much money. They didn't say what she was blowing all of her money on, but we could probably rule out lunch. Oh, that's so wrong.
Yeah. And then Ellen DeGeneres and
Portia.
Oh,
yeah. She and Portia are getting married this weekend.
Wow.
I don't know. I guess it must be a pretty stressful time for her, because where is she going to find a pantsuit with a train? Oh, shit. That's so awful. Poor Ellen. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay.
What else is there? There was a couple of things here. Like, give me one page. Yeah, because I already went through them. I guess Jackson Brown is suing. You see where my mind is at. You know, you're wearing thinner shirts every day, and you know that, right?
I was running a little bit late this morning. I just grabbed the first thing that was literally on top of my shelf. So
your nipples are begging to be sucked. But, maybe next time.
Tell that
time.
To my boyfriend.
Not today.
Oh, my God.
So Jackson Brown is suing John McCain for using his song Running on Empty in the campaign commercial without his permission.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
Go figure that out, yeah.
People should really think these things through before they go and do something like that.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. Do you remember the series Dallas, or was that before you?
No, I vaguely remember that.
You were really
little. It was like, it's right on the cusp of, like, of
now,
my childhood.
To my math, you were born in 82, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Very good.
And what's your birthday? I don't even know.
It's March 14th. I'm a Pisces.
March 14th.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's yours?
Mine is Taurus. It's May 10th.
Oh, you're a bull. Remember I wore that Taurus shirt the other day?
Yes, yes, we did. That's right.
Yeah.
So, well, we have it in the general same area. March, May. It's
close
not
enough.
Too far, yeah. Pisces are generally like people that are easy to get along with, aren't they?
Very easygoing. I don't know. I kind of think of Pisces like water and fishy and kind of go whichever way the water goes.
Really?
I don't want to say wishy-washy, but just kind of, I don't know, very easygoing. I like that better.
Yeah. So you think you're a typical Pisces? You think a lot of people are like you?
I think so.
Really?
I don't know. I usually get along with Pisces quite well, and I've also dated quite a few in my day.
Really?
Yeah, which is pretty random. Most people don't usually date someone that they have the same astrological sign with.
Yeah. Like, I really give a shit about that. I don't really believe in it, but, you know, but it's fun. It's fun, you know. I would not choose dating someone or not dating them.
You would be surprised how many people actually do.
I'm sure.
And especially in California. I don't know. I've really come to notice on the East Coast, people aren't so... The phrase I kind of use is hippy-dippy when it comes to things like that. And just kind of like, ooh, and everything about the universe. And the universe will take care of you and blah, blah, blah. But come out to California. And I mean, you've got all of the new age people that are very much like that. And people, like, I don't know, being on the apartment hunt, the first thing a lot of people have asked me, ooh, what sign are you? I'm like, does it really matter what
are
sign I am?
Are you serious? People ask you that?
People ask me that all the time.
Really?
Yep.
What the fuck?
I know. So it is pretty weird. And then I told you I had drunkenly joined eHarmony a while back.
Yes.
And they ask you that on there, too. Like, are these things important to you? And I was like, well, I don't know. Like, I really don't care one way or another. I mean, sure, I'll pick up, you know, the tabloids and read my horoscope in there just for shits and giggles, but
it
doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
So are you still on there on eHarmony?
Yes.
You are? Okay.
I haven't actually checked my account, though, in a while.
Now, let me ask you this. I mean, I'm thinking you're probably looking for, like, an occasional piece of ass or something, right? Or because eHarmony is really deep. I mean, that's for someone who wants to get married.
I didn't think it really through.
Really?
My sister was on it, and so in the back of my mind, I guess I must have thought, I was like, well, if she's on it, then I must be on it.
Yeah.
And so then I kind of did that. And then at the time, you know, the Franz and I were kind of just butting heads, and it was kind of a very shallow, superficial relationship. So I think maybe subconsciously I wanted something deeper and more meaningful.
Yeah.
And that's why I might have, and this is all like my projecting on my subconscious, why I might have picked eHarmony instead of something like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, maybe you do want something serious. You know?
I know, who maybe. Who's to say that I don't have something serious right now?
No, nobody. Yeah, who knows what the fuck's going on in your life?
I know.
But, so, I mean, are you on the... I mean, are you looking, or what's going on?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, because, you know, the Franz does listen to the show.
Okay.
When your boyfriend is tuning in.
Okay. Because he didn't seem to mind it a few days ago. But
no,
that's fine.
Well, that's when we were on...
That's okay.
On the outs.
This is stuff... Okay, that's right.
Now we're back on the ins again.
Oh, I see.
So it depends.
So you don't want to reveal your secrets now?
Not today. Maybe tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah, knowing you won't be here.
Oh, yeah, because tomorrow's Saturday.
Yes, tomorrow is Saturday.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Well, we won't put you on the spot. You know what? I was thinking about Janique yesterday. You know, I was thinking that if there's one person that could really do this for her, it's probably me, okay?
Do what? What are you doing for my friend?
Give her what she's looking for. But unfortunately, in this lifetime, I can't do it. No, no. But I mean, I have to intervene here, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
And, because you do have to be with the right person. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
And I've known to have damaged a few women, you know, whereas they couldn't... they couldn't move on after me.
They could never love again.
Yeah. And you know me. I mean, I usually don't brag about myself and stuff. But no, it's true. It's true, you know. So, if I mean, I may be shitty in many things in my life, but there's one thing that I'm very proud of, you know. I used to, like, shoplift erotic books from the bookstores because I was too young to buy them.
Oh, no.
And so, I mean, I knew about everything when I was, like, 5 years old. I was
5 years old.
Yeah,
that's so, you're barely reading at 5 years old.
Well, yeah. Well, I wasn't reading. I was looking at the pictures mostly. but no. Later on, when I was a teen and stuff, yeah, I would get these erotica novels and shit. You know.
Oh no.
And God, did those turn me on? I mean, there was.
I remember my first porn that I watched. I was shooting a commercial, and I forget where I was, but they had put my grandmother and me up in a hotel. My grandma took me to do the filming of it, and I was 8 years old. And she went down to the bar to go have a couple scotches. And I'm up in the bedroom by myself, and we didn't get these channels at my house. And so I'm just scrolling through the TV, and I'm supposed to be asleep, getting my beauty rest. And all of a sudden, there was a scene, and it was at a pool, and there was this girl with these buxom breasts. And they were just, like, out there and round and perky and full. And she had a very nicely manicured bush down there. And she was wearing this black, kind of like a fishnet dress over herself. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching this and I'm like, oh my God, so what's going to happen now? I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, just kind of like freaking out. But yeah, so I kind of like watched that whole scene until I heard my grandmother like coming and like unlocking the door, at which point I turned it off.
Wow.
But apparently I ordered that channel.
so I'm sure they found out. Huh?
Yeah, but luckily... I don't know. Luckily, I think my grandmother thought it was some kind of mistake or something, and she didn't think I would do something at that age. And she just kind of like blamed it on a mistake or the housekeeping or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I've had that happen a lot in my life, actually.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I was exposed to like porn very early, you know, by like accidents and shit, you know. Just because kids like to go through, to rummage through drawers and closets and shit like that.
Oh, yeah. My grandpa's also an OBGYN, so like the dinner conversation when we would have dinner parties and stuff was never really clean.
No, huh?
Yeah. It's pretty...
That's funny.
I know. Yeah. Did I ever tell you what street my mom lives on?
No.
She lives on 8 Seaman Road, but to get there, you have to take Hooker Avenue to South Cherry to Seaman Road, and it's number 8.
Really?
8 Seaman. That's where my mom lives. I won't tell you perverts out there where she lives, but, well, what state anyway?
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it is funny.
I think my sister actually got out of a speeding ticket once upon a time because the officer pulled her over and was like, license and registration, 8 Seaman, Ms. Raleigh. Oh, have a nice day, ma'am.
Wow.
She's another talented one in my family with getting out of tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all in the family.
It's a sister act.
Yeah.
We've got that down.
Yeah. So at any rate, the thing is that I got really like fascinated by sex like really early,
at
right?
5.
Yeah. So I mean, I would like, I did a lot of things, okay, but I was always very curious. So I just like made it a point to always like be the best at this, you know, and to really understand everything. Mm. So I did. You know, and then it came in handy, you know, it really came in handy. And I never realized where I really got this from, this talent, let's say. But maybe because I love to eat pussy a lot, you know, I'm sure that has
a lot to do with it. Well, that would definitely
help. It does help quite a bit. And like I told you, I like to focus on the woman totally, you know. So it's like I don't really need toys, you know, I just...
Well, some people are givers.
So many different things, yeah.
You know, if you're a giver...
I think I am, yeah.
There's some, I don't know, a lot of men out there, like, they try to be a giver, and then if a girl doesn't climax, like, successfully, like, the first time, right, they just kind of give up.
Yeah,
And then it goes back to, like, the mechanical, like,
Done. Men define themselves by whether the woman orgasms or not, you know, where sometimes it has nothing to do with
the
them.
The men I date don't. Where are you if you're out there?
Yeah.
Any more out there that aren't married?
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, that's the thing, is that you have to... You're right. It is about giving and taking, you know. And if you're a giver in your normal life, you probably would be given in the bedroom as well.
Yes, to a certain extent. I find myself. I don't know.
You don't know, okay? Because I think it goes with the personality. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, we were talking about being submissive and stuff the other day, I was listening to that show again, and I'm thinking
the one where we had Satie and Phoenix on.
Yes, and she was into S&M and stuff. And
yes,
masters and slaves, and
she takes it to a whole new level, though.
She really does, you know.
I mean, like, it becomes a part of her life, like it becomes ingrained in her personality, and, like, you know, I think it even goes outside of the bedroom.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah. I mean, she mentioned...
For a year.
She mentioned working for someone, and she would call him Yes Master.
Yeah.
You know? So it is a lifestyle.
Like, you become, like, you're playing a role. It's like you've got, like, a movie character, and you got the part, and, like, you've got to play this role for however long.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. It sure is.
Whoa. I don't know if I could do that for that long. I mean, maybe, like, for an hour or two in the bedroom, yes, might be fun, but then... You know, pull the blindfolds off, cut the rope.
Yeah.
Go back to, like, baking cookies in the kitchen.
I know. And, I mean, she was particular about the kind of rope it is and everything.
Cotton, you know? Rope. I cut that down.
Yeah.
Got my little notebook.
Yeah. And they want to get just the right amount of pain and all that. I mean, that's like...
It actually becomes like a biology lesson or a physiology lesson.
Yeah.
As far as I was concerned, listening to her, she was saying, like, certain nerves that you don't want to do too tight, and how she actually was, like, somewhat paralyzed, was it?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is, man. I mean, the shit people do, you know. I once read, you know, the stuff that hospitals, emergency rooms, get out of people's assholes?
Oh, my God. Know? I got a story about this one. I've told you guys all before, my sister's a doctor. She's doing her residency in D.C. right now. But back when she was doing, like, her emergency room rotation before she graduated med school, you know, she had a team of, like, 7 other doctors and her, and, like, most of them are hot females. Like, this is, like, actually kind of like Grey's Anatomy, where you've got, like, just sexy women that are really ridiculously smart. But so anyway, my sister has this patient, this very, very, very large, obese, actually, black woman come in. And my sister's like, what's the problem? Yeah. And the woman doesn't want to talk. You know, she's very kind of just like, well... My sister's like, well, what are you here for? You know, tell me what's up.
Yeah.
And the lady's like, well, what's up is... she's like, well, you know, I was trying to pleasure myself, and I took my dildo, and I put it in my asshole. And once something gets in your ass, apparently, I didn't know this. Maybe Janique would know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But once something gets past a certain point,
it your ass, right in.
It kind of creates like a vacuum,
right.
And it sucks it up.
Right.
So this woman had, like, I don't know, probably a foot long, massive dildo. And she had this thing, like, sucked way up into her asshole. And I think she had it in there for, like, 2 days. And she was just so embarrassed and didn't know what to do and didn't know how to get it out before she actually had the nerve to go to the emergency room.
Wow.
So
how do you know about that?
My sister told me.
Oh, okay.
She tells us all kinds of funny stories like this. She's hysterical.
My God.
But so, anyway, like, you know, then the woman has to go and get her x-ray done.
Yeah.
And so you've got this poor, obese woman, and she's got this huge dildo just sucked all the way up, like, in the middle of her ass.
Oh, my God.
And then can you imagine... my sister and, like, the other 7, like, young, not necessarily mature. I mean, very smart and very professional, but not necessarily mature. Once they've got the x-ray up in the back room, they're like, ha, 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 and everyone's pointing and laughing. They're like,
I'm sure.
Oh, shit, what do we do with this? Oh, my God.
Well, what did she expect, you know? She comes in with a fucking dildo up her ass, you know? That's
well, hey, we've all had our problems here and there, or something embarrassing happened to us that we've got to go and... get taken care of, maybe.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. I haven't, but
really,
yeah. But sometimes, you know, what really worries me, like
what?
That I'll pass out doing masturbation, and then people will figure it out. You know, when they find me.
Can I tell you a story? since you brought it up, I'll tell this story. So I had a plane. I was supposed to be. I forget where I was going. I think I was going back to New York or something, or maybe Colorado. But so I had been at the bar all night drinking, and I was like, oh, I always miss planes. That was actually one of my New Year's Eve resolutions this year. I was like, I'm not going to miss any planes this year. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm at the bar, and I'm really drunk, and I have a really early plane the next morning. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, I shouldn't have gotten drunk. Now I'm going to miss the plane. What am I going to do? And so I call my boyfriend at the time, who lived in Canada, and he's like, well, go sleep at the airport. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. He meant take a cab and go to the airport. Not in my mind. So I somehow drive to the airport, park my car in long-term parking, and I decide I'm going to sleep in my car for the night. That way I'll be right there, ready to hop in the shuttle over to the airport and hop on the plane the next morning. So I'm really bored sleeping at the airport in my car in long-term parking. So what do I do?
Oh, so you're like sleeping in the car?
I'm sleeping in the car. So I put my seat back on my car, but it was kind of, something was wedged behind it. So I actually broke the driver's side seat, like wedging it all the way back. Yeah. And I woke up the next morning with my panties around my ankles, the seat broken. I mean, it must have looked like I had been raped or something if anyone had walked by. Luckily, the windows had like steamed up and no one can really see in the car.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I had been like pleasuring myself in the airport long-term parking lot. So I wake up with my panties around my ankles and the seat like smashed back broken. So now every time I try and sit up in my car, it's like, whoa, and it bounces me back again. And I'm like, fuck. But so the long and the short of it is I actually missed the plane.
Really?
I didn't wake up to my alarm and I slept and missed the plane.
Wow.
And so I called my boyfriend at the time and he was like, I meant sleep in the airport. Sleep at the gate, you idiot. Not in your car.
Yeah, where you can't masturbate.
I left that part out. I didn't really want him to think I was a complete pervert at the time. But yeah, that was pretty awful.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. Do you like to masturbate outdoors sometimes? Have you done that?
Well, if I'm camping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? What did you have in mind?
No, nothing. I'm just wondering.
Cars, camping.
Because the outdoors always like turn me on, you know? It's like I'm thinking, you know, like I pass by orange groves or something, and I'm going like, fuck, I'd take a woman in there and do it, you know?
Well, it was actually kind of a little bit, probably definitely illegal. But the Franz and I missed my plane to the Caribbean this year. And I decided to take a road trip with the Franz. And we went to Vegas and spent a night with my dad. And then we went up to Salt Lake City. And then we went to Moab before we ended up in Colorado. But once we were in Moab, we were in the national parks. And we decided to go hiking around. And this is Arches National Park, where they have beautiful sandstone, like just, oh, God. The geological formations are unbelievably gorgeous.
Where is it at?
Moab, Utah.
Oh, you got to go to Utah for that.
Yes, you have to go to Utah, but it is unbelievably worth the trip.
Have you been to Bryce Canyon?
I've been to Bryce Canyon and Zion. I love all of those national parks. They're unbelievable. But so anyway, the Franz and I decided to go for a hike, and all of a sudden we both get a little bit hot and bothered. And there are families walking around. There are small children. You know, there are like old Asian couples that have been hiking up this mountain for like 4 hours to get to the top of it to go see this beautiful like arch. Well, they saw two arches that day, my back and the mountain. But that was actually probably one of the more explicit times that I've had sex in nature, in public, in a national park.
I think it'd be cool, you know? It's kind of like you feel one with nature.
With nature and just like, I don't know, like the risk of being caught is just always kind of like in the back of your mind. Well, it's so prevalent. I mean, it's just...
Would you want to be caught?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. Okay,
no.
So you mean just the thrill of maybe you will?
Yes. Yeah. The danger of it all.
Yeah.
You know, I like the danger zone. It's pretty crazy like that.
Yeah, it is cool, though.
Mm.
Wow. Well, we always seem to segue to sex.
But I know. It's like, what is this show really supposed to be about?
Yeah. But we left off 2 hours ago at the cast members of Dallas... getting back together for a reunion, and they're selling tickets to the event for $1,000.
There's no way in hell I would pay that.
Fuck no. You know, who cares about him anyway? Michael Phelps, the swimmer, won the 6th gold medal of Beijing last night. That's amazing, you know?
It's unbelievable.
I haven't had much chance to watch, but when I did, last night I watched about 15 minutes of the swimming. Mm. It was amazing. It's just absolutely amazing.
It is pretty crazy.
But what is it about the women? None of them have any breasts at all. I mean, is that like a requirement? Because
No. When you train your body, when you work that hard, I mean, if you look at ballet dancers too, and just the gymnasts in general, and the swimmers, you work so hard and you actually like have... they probably don't even menstruate and get their period.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
They maybe probably get it once a year, if that.
Wow.
And that's just because they have... going back to our ancestors, I took a cultural anthropology class. You know, they're walking and walking and wandering around the earth like being nomads.
Right.
And because they're walking so much and they're eating very, very lean meat, they actually... Their body stops menstruating, and it actually kind of becomes a form of birth control.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, those chicks are never getting pregnant.
Right. But so do you think that, just because they have no body fat, that they have no boobs?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
Wow.
That was kind of like my case scenario when I was a child. I worked so hard and like I ate like zero fat growing up, being a model and being a dancer at the time.
Yeah.
That your body just kind of like shuts down and it stays like prepubescent almost for a really long time.
Wow.
Like some of those kids, they probably wouldn't even get their period until they were like 18 or 19, maybe even older.
Yeah. And then they got some muscular bodies, you know, especially those, the Scandinavian girls, you know.
They are like tight, big, you know. They are just tight muscles
on
them.
Viking girls, you know. But it's amazing. And then you see them swimming. I mean, there was one race between the women where the Australian was leading the whole time, okay? And then the last 20, 30 feet, or let's say the last 15 yards or so,
okay,
the British one emerges from behind and wins. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
I didn't get to watch that, but I've heard about that.
But it's really decent. I mean, it's cool. It's really cool, you know?
They're ridiculous athletes. Do we have a caller?
Yeah, we have a caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Good morning. It's St. Louis Steve.
Hi, St. Louis Steve.
I guess we should have known, right, Steve?
Well, there's other callers, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one.
No, but I should have known by the area code. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm a swimmer, too. Guess what stroke I swim?
What stroke do you swim, Steve?
How did you know? It was backstroke, really.
Really?
I was a swimmer in my high school swimming team.
I was a swimmer in high school as well.
Yeah, backstroke. I was super at it. I loved doing the back flip on the turns, too.
Do you want to know how I knew you did the backstroke, Steve?
No.
From your Facebook picture, I looked at your physique, and I could tell with your shoulders that you were a backstroker.
Oh, cool.
I know a fellow backstroker when I see one, baby.
Wow. Jeff Spotnet. Hey, I don't know if I'm supposed to call in or not for this chance to win, but I'm kind of nervous because I got to go on the other side of town to get a haircut.
Okay.
And I didn't want to lose the opportunity.
No, you won't.
So
okay.
I thought I'd at least call in now. You know.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. I tell you what, stick around, okay? And we're going to make it easy for you. I mean, I just need to figure this out real quick, but hang in there, and we're going to have, I'll ask you and Lisa to call back. Lisa won on Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday. Yeah.
And so I'll have you both call in, and one of you is going to win. I mean, we narrowed down to one and two, so you can't say we're not really trying to give away the radio.
You got a 50-50 chance there, Steve-O.
Yeah, there you go. So you go ahead and go to the other side of town.
Not today, don't call back?
No, today.
No, today.
Today.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
But you can go to the other side of town. That's fine. We'll give it to someone else. Lisa will win by default.
Now I'm going to feel like I'm going to cancel my haircut appointment.
Oh, poor Steve.
Yeah, well, you can always go tomorrow.
Twice already. I don't want to cancel it again.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then we'll do it fast just so you can be on.
You guys are hilarious.
Thank you, darling.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, okay, bye. Steve, hang in there. Bye. St. Louis Steve.
He cracks me up.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, how does a half hour just fly by just like that?
I don't know.
I mean, we only get started and, you know.
I think we're both still asleep today.
Yeah, you think so?
Yes.
I got to tell you, I mean, you can tell I didn't shave this morning, right?
Actually, I didn't notice. It kind of looks nice. I like
really?
A little bit of scruff.
I never leave the house without shaving.
Ooh.
But this morning, my mind was on so many different things that suddenly I find myself in the shower and I'm feeling my face. I said, shit, I forgot to shave. And then when I got out, I thought, you know.
Susie won't mind.
Yeah, I can't show the world my face that's unshaved because I don't like the way I look unshaved. And then I thought, you know what, really? The world doesn't really give a fuck, you know?
They really don't give a fuck.
Whether I shave or not.
No.
You know? So I just said, what the hell, you know?
Let yourself go a little bit.
Yeah, live on the edge, you know?
Exactly. I wanted to ask you yesterday, we were talking about your pilot's license, and it sounded like you'd gotten pretty far. What made you stop? Or
well, I moved. I was taking the lessons in Vegas,
yeah,
and then I moved here, and it sort of like just didn't happen.
The Santa Monica Airport, though, would be a wonderful place. Like, I actually,
I know.
I went there and I met a new instructor, and I haven't had the funds to start taking the lessons again.
Yeah.
But that's actually one of the best airports to go and do it.
Yeah, I suppose, because I was faced with just going to Van Nuys Airport, and that one is so friggin' busy, and it's got the Burbank Airport like nearby.
Yeah.
So you've got airliners to deal with and shit, and so I never really did it, but. But, you know, I mean, after so many years, I would have to take some hours again, you know, not just the additional 10 hours. Yeah. I have to get a lot more. So, but yeah, eventually, you know, when I find some time and stuff, I really want to do this. You know?
I think we should make time to do it because it's something that's unbelievable.
It is. And, you know, you go cross country, you go, you know what, let's fly to San Francisco for the day. Sure.
Let's go have lunch in San Fran.
Woo. Yeah, you know, and it's really cool.
I know. That would be so nice.
I know.
I wanted to tell you yesterday, I forgot to tell you. But my kind of dirty, my plane situation that happened probably about 3 years ago now. I have a beautiful girlfriend. Her name's Chase. She's absolutely just the most beautiful thing in the world. We grew up modeling together. She lives in LA here now.
Really?
And she wants to come on the show.
Yeah, you haven't brought her in yet?
No, not yet. Oh, okay. Well, we've been trying to coordinate schedules, and she wants me to pick her up, and then I usually have to run out of here, so I don't have time to drop her off again. But so anyway, we went to go visit her mom in Florida, and we were flying from Florida back to New York. And so, you know, I had bought the tickets, and so we were back in coach. And so she was like, oh, I'm taking the window seat. And she just, like, plopped herself down in the window seat. Uh-huh. And I was like, fine then, whatever. So I took the middle seat. And then, you know, we both kind of closed our eyes for a minute. And when I opened them, I look over to my right, and there is a beautiful man sitting next to me. Mm-hmm. Of course, the story has to go into a man again.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I look at him, and he just kind of looks at me and smiles, and I'm like, okay, whatever. So Chase is passed out in the seat next to me, and the plane takes off, you know. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was a little nervous about flying because I hadn't gotten over my fear of flying yet. So as soon as the plane took off, it started rumbling a little bit, and I was like, oh! And I put my hand on the guy's leg, and I grab his leg a little bit, and he grabs my hand, and he's like, oh, are you afraid of flying? And I was like, a little bit. I'm sorry. You know, I don't even know you. I shouldn't put my hand in your leg. And I try and take it off. And he's like, no, that's okay. And he had a Russian accent as he's like clasping my hand. And I was like, thank you for being so kind. And I turn, when I say this, I turn and I look deeply into his gorgeous fucking blue eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, so beautiful. And we lock eyes. This is literally within the first 5 minutes of the plane taking off. Next thing
Why
you know.
Why don't I ever fucking get lucky like this? I'm always stuck with some old woman. Go ahead.
Next thing you know, our eyes have locked. And we are making out, tongues down each other's throats, just full on, the most passionate kissing I've ever experienced in my life. And all of a sudden, I think I'm in love. So my friend wakes up, you know, 20 minutes into the flight, and she looks over, and I'm like practically sitting on this guy's lap, just going to town, like just mwah, 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 kissy, kissy, kissy. And she's like, Susie, what are you doing? Who is that? Oh my God, like it was supposed to be a girls' weekend. Get off that guy's lap. Oh my God. And I was like kind of shocked that, you know, I was sucked out of my own little world into reality again.
Yeah.
So I kind of dismount the man, and I sit down, and I was like, oh, Chase, this is, I was like, what's your name? And he's like, Vlad, my name is Vlad. And I was like, okay, this is Vlad. And I was like, so Vlad, what do you do? And he's like, I'm a ballerina. And I'm like, oh, okay, interesting. But I'm not going to discriminate. And then he's like, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And so he gets up to go to the bathroom, at which point Chase is like, Susie, he wants you to go to the bathroom. Go follow him in there.
Right.
And I was like, I don't even know him. I can't go in the bathroom. She's like, you don't even know him, but you can mount him and make out with him on the plane. He wants you to go in there. And I was like, I've never done this before. I can't. So we argue, and I don't go in there. But a minute later, he comes back and sits down. I still don't notice this. What? I'm going to tell you. Whatever. The plane finally lands. Like, Vlad and I exchange numbers. His parents have a wonderful house up on the Taconic in upstate New York. And I was actually driving up to my taxidermist to drop off my zebra at the time. but so anyway, he wanted me to come and visit him and his family on the way up there. And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be wonderful. I'm thinking this is true love. The plane lands. Mm-hmm. He goes to stand up and get off the plane. He must have been about 5'1".
Mm-hmm.
I'm 5'10".
Oh, I see. I thought you were going to say something about his dick or something.
No. Okay.
So he was a midget.
He was a midget.
Yeah.
And I had no idea because he had his like little feet stretched out in the seat in front of him.
Yeah.
And every time he went up to go to the bathroom, I was like talking to my friend or getting, you know, chastised by her or being told to go into the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But here I am like mounting and making out with a midget.
Yeah. Wow.
How awful
is that? 5'1".
Yeah. I'm about 9 inches taller than the guy.
Yeah.
Talk about embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, you had it coming. You had it coming, Susie.
To this day, I have not let that one down with Chase. She just is like, ha, ha, ha. Aww. It's not that I have anything against short men. Once upon a time, I broke up with the Franz, and one of my Mexican busboys at the restaurant was like, Susie, what about you and me? And I was like, Tony, to be honest, I like my men to be at least my height. And he was like, for you, I put lifts in my shoes. I was like, oh, honey.
Sounds good. I'm sure he'd do just about anything.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Hello, this Chinese Public Information Officer Ling Duck Ching Song Zhang Ping with today's Olympic report from Chinese point of view. We pull Miri Vaniri by using cute little girl to rip sync at opening ceremonies. Do ugly girl big favor by not putting face on TV. America should do this with Whoopi Goldberg. Ha! We also fake firework over stadium. Can't see real firework through Purushan anyway. Chinese crowd ordered to say ooh and ah while looking at blank sky. Have good imagination about what real firework might look like. That all for today, world. Keep watching Greatest Olympics in greatest host country ever, China.
There's something about the way you try to look. It's getting right to me, deeper than it really should. What are you, an angel, or just looking that good? When you take your time, you are so divine. I'm not surprised, I'd like to watch you in this life. There's something about the way you look tonight. There's something about the way you look tonight.
I'll tell you what, the first person, okay, whether it's Steve or Lisa, I hope Lisa is listening too, but the first one that can give us the answer or call in with the answer is winning the radio.
Excellent. Okay? And, did we come up with a question?
Yeah. Well, if they weren't listening in the beginning of the show, they're going to lose, because I'm going to ask who did we say is getting married? Okay, do you remember?
Yes. Okay, I had to think for a second. I was like,
you only need a short memory span.
Let me give you a hint. It's not me.
So whoever calls first, Lisa or Steve, you get the radio. And so that's that. Obviously, we're not trying too hard. So
Lisa's the name of my new roommate. I was, you know how we were, I was kind of just distressing all week about like my miserable roommate search and everything.
Right.
Hold on.
There's a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Hey, Sam. It's Lisa.
It's Lisa. Hi,
wow. Lisa,
you won the friggin' radio.
Thanks, man.
Well, that was...
I can listen to you guys when I'm going to sleep.
That was fast. That was fast.
Steve's going to be so brokenhearted.
Oh, well. Steve will have another chance. Lisa. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Let me ask you this. What part of town do you live
North
in?
North Hollywood.
Oh, North Hollywood. That's right. I think you said it last time, right? And how long have you been listening to us?
About 3 weeks now, actually.
3 weeks? And how'd you find out? How'd you find out about us?
I was on MySpace, and one of my friends sent me some kind of a listing about Winobi, Sintabu.
Oh, okay.
So I went to the site to check it out.
Oh boy!
You guys, you and TJ actually, I just sit here and wait up.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep after.
Wow, that's cool. Why do you work at night? That you go to sleep now?
Yeah, actually, I get off a 12-hour shift and I have to wait for you guys to come on.
Wow. Aww.
12-hour shift. What do you do?
I'm a CNA.
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 What's that? Certified nurse.
Yeah.
My mind is in the gutter. I was trying to be like, what does that mean? It's like TNA, tits and ass.
What?
Like, what the hell is TNA store?
You know, as far as getting money, you know.
And how long have you been doing that?
Let me see. Since I was about 6 years.
6 years, wow.
Is a certified nurse different than a registered nurse?
Yeah, there's a lot of things we can't do that they can.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay.
Ours is we're limited by, you know, you can't do any clinical work or anything like that.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so are you like a nurse's aide or something?
Is that
one? I see. Okay.
Do you work at a hospital or?
Yeah, at a hospital.
Wow.
But not the kind you want to visit.
No, huh? Yeah, I was going to ask you. I mean,
does anyone ever want to visit a hospital?
Yeah, I suppose.
Unless you kind of want to. Insane in the head and want to go to a psychiatric hospital, then yeah, maybe, sure.
Oh, it's a psychiatric.
Psychiatric.
Oh, count me in.
Yeah.
You know what? I was actually about thinking that if I could get any kind of money from my job for turning people in, I was going to give them your info.
Oh, no, that's so funny. If you have like if you fill a quota every month and bring in like 100 insane people, if you're going to get like an increase.
Yeah, 100 insane people or Susie, one of the two.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Hey, if I just send her in, that's my quota for the month, man.
So you listen to Winobi. Are you a lesbian too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured so much. Yeah.
Okay. Hi. What are you doing later? Oh, my.
Yeah, you know Susie likes girls, too, so don't turn her on too much.
Hey.
And,
keep her on, man.
So what places... Do you have a girlfriend now?
Heck no. Too young.
No?
You're too young. How old are you?
Can't really tell you. No, I'm playing. I'm 25.
Oh, okay.
So you're too young for a girlfriend?
Never too young for a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Well, you're never too young for girls.
But you're old enough to play.
Yeah. So, but you like to play around a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you going to come to Sardos on Tuesday and come meet Sam and me?
Actually, I work 12 hours every day.
That's right. Aww. Yeah. Wow, that's a long time to work. Do you only work 4 days?
No, Monday through Friday sometimes.
Oh wow.
Oh my gosh, you're crazy.
That's a lot of friggin' hours.
Are you on your feet the whole time?
No.
Well, that's good at least.
At night when the patients are asleep, they actually pretty much have it easy.
Yeah.
They do really nothing, so I don't mind it.
Tell me something. Do you have to clean other people's shit and piss?
No. I work with children, and they take care of themselves. I just watch.
Really?
Make sure they don't, you know, hurt themselves or anything crazy like that, but that's about it.
Wow.
Wow.
So
that's a tough job.
These kids are inpatient?
Yep.
Wow.
Are a lot of them medicated and things for, like, psychiatric disorders?
Yeah.
Wow. Do you ever find that a lot of them are just having, like, problems, like, in their immediate surroundings, like, in their family life, and they're just kind of acting out, and that they might not necessarily need psychiatric intervention?
Oh, well, I've seen some cases at another hospital that I used to work at.
Yeah.
But this one, it would just mainly deal with psychiatric issues, no behavioral, so...
Because it's like I've been in therapy my whole life. I've always had psychiatrists and psychologists just for whatever whatever's irking me that week, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, my motto in life is this: there's nothing in the world that a bottle of vodka can't cure.
That a bottle of vodka can't cure?
Yeah.
You are my kind of girl. I've been on a wine kick lately, though.
Huh?
I've been on a wine kick lately. Vodka's actually out of my budget recently. I've been doing more of the two-buck chuck at Trader Joe's. You can get,
are you serious?
Yeah, you can get awesome wine. You get Merlot, Cabernet, Sauvignon Blanc, or Chardonnay, and it's all $1.98 per bottle.
Whoa.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. And I actually have a friend that works there, and so she gave me a discount even more, so I got like two bottles for free when I bought a case.
So you bought a case.
I buy a case every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah, she drinks by the case. Did you hear the other day she said she drank four bottles of wine in one sitting? I mean, that is like... Wow.
I'm immune to that. I have a friend who can sit there and drink two bottles of vodka in one sitting and still drive home.
Wow.
I could do that too, but I would have a nasty headache. Vodka gives me a pretty bad headache if I drink too much of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what I found out? If you drink clear liquors and you know, keep yourself hydrated, you don't get a hangover.
It's because a lot of clear liquors
are... your body's dehydrated.
Clear liquors are distilled more than other things. Well, with the exception of rum. Rum has so much sugar in it, so that'll give you a nasty hangover anyway.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, you should come into the studio sometime. Sit in with us. You sound interesting.
Give me a psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah.
Well,
You know, I can't give you a biased opinion on that because, you know, I'll be doing the same thing that Sam will be doing every day.
Aww.
What's that?
Giving me a psychiatric evaluation every day.
Is that what I do?
I cannot give an honest eval on that one because, like I said, I will be doing the same thing that Sam does every day.
Really? Do I analyze her like that?
No, you don't analyze. You stare at her too much to talk.
Wait, he does what? What did she say? You do too much to what?
He stares at you too much to talk most of the time.
Too much to talk?
He's too busy staring at you.
At my boobs?
Oh, I see. Okay, so I don't talk enough. I don't talk enough, right?
Or maybe I just talk too much. Maybe I just need to shut up a little bit.
No, you can never talk too much, honey.
Yeah.
Aw, thank you. You're so sweet.
But Lisa, listen, send me your email. Just an email, so I'll have your email address and include your physical address, and we'll ship it out to you first thing Monday. And this thing is awesome, and you definitely deserve it. I mean, if you're a daily listener, you deserve to listen to this anywhere in your house, and you'll see it's just amazing when you can break away from the computer to listen to us, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's really amazing.
I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Don't mean to be the sticker for the rules, but do I have to answer the question first?
I was thinking about that before, and I was like, we're telling her, congratulations, Lisa, you won.
I know. Well,
and then I'm both like looking at you, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, fuck the question. I know you listened.
All right, answer the question. Come on. Let her answer it.
Come on, it's Ellen.
Yay.
Ellen,
ding, ding, ding,
Ellen
ding,
and Portia. Now, that Portia is a hot piece of ass.
Oh, right? Yes.
That's why I'm so upset about it, but, you know.
Yeah. Did you think you had a chance with her still?
Hell no.
Hey, you never know out there. My employer was asking me last night. He's like, Susie, I just don't understand. He's like, you're cute and you're spunky and you've got this, I don't know, you're just so cute. And he's like, and you're with the Franz. I mean, really, really. I mean, what must people think when the two of you walk down the street? And I was like, I don't know what they think. They must wonder, like, what he's got. I mean, he gets all kinds of girls.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Most of the time, let me just put it this way, where it goes, most of the time, it's never about the looks. It's always about the personality. They can just sense it.
Yeah.
It's certainly not about the money.
You have within yourself.
Yeah. It's also the mouth. You know, whatever you say, and if you have the balls, then you get everything that you want.
I thought you were going to say the mouth. Like, remember how I told you when Franz was in jail and my friend who's in a gang, I was like, dog, do you know any people like on the inside that can keep him safe? And dog was like, is he white? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, does he have a pretty mouth? And I was like, yeah. And dog was like, shit, girlfriend, he's fucked. And I was like, no. 1-800-BONDSMAN, get my baby out.
Lisa, so let me ask you this, though. When was the last time you had sex?
Who?
You.
Oh, let's see. When was the last time I was off? 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks?
Yes, to go by my days off, I know.
Oh, really?
Yep.
You don't get any when you're working?
You don't take a break in the padded room and just kind of bounce off the walls a little bit?
I do work with kids. I do have to like this at a certain level of professionality. Other than that,
I remember when I was when I was a security holdover in the Army after they wouldn't give me my top secret security clearance. One of the duties they had me do for a female soldier in training, people that were getting chaptered out of the Army for like that were trying to plead the insanity case, they couldn't be alone in the military police jail by themselves. So they would have to
and
have
they had you go in there.
They had me go in there and kind of do like a 24-hour like supervision shift. And I was going out of my mind as well. I really would like to have gotten out of the Army at that point. But so I had this one girl, she was from Harlem. Was she from Harlem? I think so. But she would sexually molest all the other... This is why she got out of the military, or why they kicked her out. Because in the middle of the night in basic training, she realized she didn't want to be there, so she would sneak into the other soldiers' beds. And, you know, I consider a lot of these kids. Yeah. I mean, they're like 18, 19 years old, and they're really young. Like, they haven't been around the world and back like I have and seen a lot of the things. But she would sneak into their beds at night and sexually molest them. They'd wake up in the middle of, like, you know, basic training with, like, a hand in their crotch. They're like, ah! Like, their nipples being pinched. Like, I called her the tweaker. But so they put her literally in a padded jail cell. And one of my duties was every other day I had to go and I had to, like, babysit her for 24 hours. But so I was really mean, I must say. I was actually nice to her, but then I was, like, kind of mean at this point because I would go out of my mind with boredom. Yeah. And so one of the things she would do was the Harlem Shake. But she would only do it if you would start singing to her. And so the male military police officer was like, I don't know, we were kind of separated, but I was separated from her by the bars. And then I was separated from the other police officers by glass.
Right.
So they couldn't hear me provoking her. Uh-huh. But so I would kind of, like throw a little, like, pizza crust at her. And then I would start singing, like, some song, the one that was like, oh, boy. And then she would just get up and start shaking it. And then the other cops would come rushing in and they're like, stop dancing, you sit down right now. And then she's just like, but. And they're like, no, you sit down. And I was so mean, just provoking the poor girl.
Yeah, obviously.
But you know what? She was mean, tweaking all the other girls.
Yeah.
They didn't ask for
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my experience working in kind of a mental ward.
So she was doing it with female soldiers?
Female soldiers.
Oh, I thought it was male soldiers. No. That's why I was wondering, why are they complaining?
Dude, Sam, yeah. Hey, if it was dude, do you honestly think anybody would complain?
That's what I'm saying.
Nope, it was all, I mean, like our platoons were mixed, but at the end of the day, you go, the females sleep with the females and the males sleep with the males.
Right.
Yeah, the bunkers always separated.
Ugh, shower time was gross. Yeah. Yuck.
Wow.
Oof. Bad memories.
Hold on, what kind of memories? What do you mean gross? They had, like, co-ed showers?
Oh, no, it wasn't co-ed showers, but I don't know. I kind of always felt like it was, like, a concentration camp style shower. I mean, we were all just like
military, so it is.
We were like dirty and nasty, and everyone just like smelled really gross after like being in the field all day. And they would kind of just like herd us into the shower, like the female drill sergeant. And like you would literally have like 1 minute to like get in the water and like just do your scrub down. Like, I don't know. It was just very. It wasn't about personal hygiene or like, you know. But nowadays, when you take a shower, you just kind of like love yourself, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna like wash my face. Now I'm gonna wash my toes. Now I'm gonna lovingly shave my legs and make myself presentable for the world. But there, it was just, I don't know. You really just kind of felt violated and awful.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was kind of miserable. So no wonder I should have become the tweaking girl and gotten kicked out of the military sooner than I already did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I waited too long. I tried to pull the lesbian card then, too. It didn't work.
No, huh?
They're like, shut up.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Back when I was a holdover, I tried to tell them I was a lesbian, and they had to let me out, and they were like, look at you, Private Raleigh. They're like, not so Private Raleigh. There's no way you're a lesbian. We caught you making out with the guy in the woods.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no.
I'm like, I'm a sled.
I just take what I can get.
Yeah.
Lisa, hey, man.
Lisa, do you, what's the deal with the G-spot? Have you ever discovered it on you or other girls?
Sam, I think we need to have an experiment with you. You're fascinated with this G-spot.
Well, because,
you know what?
Because
yeah.
You have.
I think you guys should get to have that. What was that girl's name? Phoenix something?
Satine Phoenix?
Have her in there and figure some shit out.
Yeah.
This is kind of a professional office building, though. I think we might have to, like, cover up the window.
Yeah, I think
people can't see.
You're on the 36th floor, aren't you?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Who the fuck is going to see?
She listens. Come on. Yeah, she listens.
TJ was ranting on about the earthquake.
Yeah.
So
was he scared?
He said he was downstairs, so
TJ was downstairs. I was up here.
Oh.
Yeah, and the whole...
And being a genius that he is, he has to take the elevator back like 2 minutes after the earthquake happened.
He took the freaking elevator? Are you kidding me?
Well, what, are you going to take the stairs up 36 floors?
You got lazy fuck.
Just wait till I see him again. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. So, well, you changed the subject quickly. The thing is, so.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to. As far as that, with girls, no. Myself, definitely no.
Yeah, so you think it's all bullshit or what?
No, it's not.
Oh, so why is it that some people can
she
find
it and
some can't?
She knows anatomy. Is that why you asked her?
No, I mean, because she said that she hasn't found it with girls and stuff. Isn't that what you just said, Lisa?
Okay, why it is because you have to be really, in my opinion at least, you have to be really comfortable with the person to be able to try a lot of different things without, you know, just being just so gung-ho and trying to get them off.
Right.
So, you know, it has to be a person that you're really comfortable with
yeah.
to experiment. And then maybe...
You're right.
Yeah.
You're
right. Yeah. That is something I definitely agree with. You have to be very comfortable with someone in order to try new things and experiment. Because if you're just hooking up with someone for the first time and you're like, oops, and you just slip something and they're like, oh my God, like, where the fuck did that come from?
She's speaking about from experience, Sam.
Yeah, there you go, you know, yeah. And if someone stuck a finger in my ass, man, they'd be fucking bitch slapped.
How about you, they won't. Because you will be too cut up enjoying it. You'll probably just kill them afterwards,
yeah.
or you'll just let it go on until it's over.
There is no way, man. There is no...
Yes, man.
No, you don't
Maybe
know me.
Maybe we tie you
me.
Up
you
first.
Me.
I'm
very averse
Tuesday
to the
Tuesday night
rectum.
When you guys go to the bar.
Yeah, get them all liquored up. Trust me, get I'll try. Drunk. I was already thinking. I was like, "Great, I'm going to be hammered. How am I going to get home?"
Yeah.
I was like,
"Take one for the team. Don't drink so much, and get him drunk, and get him home to his wife, and let her know what to do."
Oh wow, that's very complicated. I don't know. We want to get into that.
Oh my God, I've got to meet his wife first.
Yeah.
I think he's hiding me from her.
Yeah.
Does your wife even know what you do, Sam?
Of course.
Does she think you have like some office job and like a 9-to-5?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
She doesn't know, does she? I'm like your mistress, your radio mistress.
There you go, yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, shit.
No, my wife already got used to it after the first time around, so. Yeah. You see, the point is this. The day I make it with my co-host, it'll be the end of the show.
I know.
You see, because you got to have that sexual tension. You know,
yep.
I mean, that's, you know, it's like every day I'm looking forward to seeing...
more nipple.
To see Susie in the morning, you know? And you don't want to screw that up, you know? And I've found in past relationships, you know, it's like you can be friends with a woman, and the moment you have sex, it's like everything has changed. You know.
I know.
And
well, for me, it's different. Like I've been able to have sex with guys that I've considered like really good friends,
mm-hmm.
You know, and that I've like been attracted to on some level. But then once the night's over, you know what I mean? Like my friend Joe, that's not really his real name in Boston, who was obsessed with the squirters. Mm-hmm. You know, we hooked up like every now and then. He had a long distance relationship, and I was kind of his mistress on the side a little bit, and I was just using him for sex. I was just using him for sex every now and then because I didn't want a relationship and I didn't want anything to be complicated.
Yeah,
exactly.
But then all of a sudden he got into a relationship with a girl, you know, that was living in the area, and all of a sudden he couldn't really be friends with me anymore because he just had like the girl can sense like the sexual tension that he had with me. I was like, I don't have any sexual tension with you. Like I can go to dinner parties with you and your new girlfriend and you know, be just fine.
Yeah.
But I think guys are more hung up on it than girls sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so. I think it's just because
because you know what, guys are more territorial than girls.
Yes.
So they're fine if they're showing someone else, but as the minute that you know, show an interest on another dude, it's just something inside them that just gets turned on. So like, oh, that's mine. It's a territory thing.
You're right. Like a possessive type of a thing.
Exactly.
Like you're mine, yeah. That's true. I do see that sometimes. But I don't know. In my experience, if you have sex with someone you work with, or that you're friends with, in other words, where after a breakup you're still going to have to see them, then that creates a problem.
Definitely.
You know, and it affects the workplace or whatever, you know. You don't think so?
Nope. Depending on your level of maturity. If you can handle it, yeah. And most people, I'm pretty sure can. It all, you know, it's just the basic mentality of when you go to work, you leave your shit outside the door. So when you go to work, you go to work.
Not all people can do that. I mean, in a perfect world, yes. I mean, I dated a guy that I used to bartend with. And then when I broke up with him, oh my gosh, it ended up being just a nightmare for everyone in town and for all parties involved.
Wow.
It was Are you serious? But it's just common sense, though. Work is work. There's nothing personal about it.
I know.
I mean, if you get paid for just by sitting at home, then that will be work. That will be just fine. But work is work.
Yeah, but look, I mean, you break up with someone, and it's a nasty breakup. Do you really want to see them every day?
No.
You know?
Well, I don't really think any breakup should be nasty. I just kind of break up with, like, they all, well, as soon as they get involved with me, they should know it's going to be coming, sooner or later.
Yeah.
But they all just think they're going to be the one to change me and, like, keep me and tame me and make me, I don't know, to contain,
again,
to contain the phenomena that is Susie.
Yeah. And you lead them on, too.
I do not.
That they do.
Well, I really do love them for a week.
Okay.
It's just like a switch that gets flipped in my head. It's like I really do love them,
yeah.
And then I really don't love them.
Yeah.
And that's it.
You get bored.
I know. I get bored unless there's something like ridiculously fascinating or interesting, like the Franz, and, you know, that's, I don't know.
Yeah. Lisa, we're going to let you go because I know you need your nap. Or you're
still finish up the show.
You sleep.
Come
on, wonderful. Okay, well, we're expecting a guest. I don't see them around, but maybe there will be. So, send me your email with your address, and we'll send you the radio. And congratulations to you, and thank you so much for listening. You know,
yay.
It's people
thank
like you.
Thank you. And I have a question. I just go to your contact and just press the web address.
info@latalkradio.com.
Cool. All right, you guys have fun.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Lisa. Nice chatting with you.
Bye. Bye. And we'll, I'm gonna communicate with her and see maybe she'll come in and sit with us one day.
Yeah, she seems so sweet.
She sounds interesting. Yeah.
And she gets off her 12-hour shift and comes in.
I know.
Well, not comes in, but listens to us and stays up.
The show. That's awesome.
Aww.
Huh?
I know. Well, now maybe she can bring the radio to work and listen to us at work.
Yeah, there you go. Well, she can
disturb
listen
disturb some of the patients.
Oh, yeah.
Even more.
Yeah, I don't think in her line of work she can listen to anything, but...
I know, right?
Yeah.
Maybe she needs to tune out some of what's going on there.
Yeah.
That's such a tough line of work that she's in, especially working with disturbed kids or...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hmm.
You don't have any experience with that, do you?
No.
Oh, I do. You've got one sitting right here. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, let's take a little break, and we'll be back. You can tell us all about the new place you found.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so stay with us.
The makers of Pineapple Express.
Dude.
have joined forces with George Lucas to take the science fiction genre to an all-time high. The Stoned Wars.
Young Skywalker. Bogart the Druid you did. Now the munchies you have.
High Times Magazine raves, if you get off your futon to see one movie this summer, The Stoned Wars is the one to sneak into.
These are not the stoners you're looking for.
The Stoned Wars. Now baking in selected cities.
You don't get off if you don't cough.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away from the scene. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. tight as the rub. That's the catch. The whole done deal. The whole shooting match. What can I say? What can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing. Act on you. I don't need your anger. I don't need your pain. I don't need your answer. So I'm not listening. No. Sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger. I don't need your pain. I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. I don't need it. I said I don't need it.
Want older looking skin? With Revlon's Chinese Gymnast Age Enhancing Makeup, it's easy. Try it and watch your little girl become a young woman old enough to compete in the Olympics.
Thanks to Revlon's Chinese Gymnast Age Enhancing Makeup, my 10-year-old looks 16 with all her baby teeth and no breasts.
Revlon's Chinese Gymnast Age Enhancing Makeup is made from a special combination of minerals usually found on Chinese toys. It's the coverage makeup that's a total cover-up.
Yay, we win gold medal! Now whole family be around to rib.
Revlon's Chinese Gymnast Age Enhancing Makeup. Go for the old.
Hello, this is George Takei, and I am truly excited to have Sam and Susie in the Morning on my internet radio. Those two are a hoot. I swear if I was heterosexual, I'd ask Susie out on a date. Of course, I'm homosexual, so I'll be asking Sam out instead. Oh my. And now let's get back to Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
Trying to figure out how you can talk to the two best hosts in internet radio history? Simple. Pick up your phone and dial 818-602-4498. Once again, here's your hosts, Sam and Susie.
Okay, so you texted me yesterday, and you were extremely happy to the point where you wrote on my wall at on Facebook, too.
Yes, I'm actually looking at my Facebook right now, and it's really, really funny, because I found a new potential, well, not a new potential, a new roommate. Official. I'm going to actually drop off the check afterwards and make it actually real.
Cool. So we'll just tell everyone that you've been looking for another place to live.
Yes, I've been looking for a new place to live.
You're in a studio right now.
And it's ridiculously expensive, and it's, like, really small.
So wait a minute. So what did you find first, the house or the roommate?
I found, well, I w- Let's see. I was on Craigslist probably about a month ago, and I found this one ad for a lady that was just like, you know, I'm looking for someone to share my house with me. You know, I'm a single woman and I live by myself and I work from home. So I want someone that's going to be, you know, not like a homebody and like home all the time and just like sitting on the couch like a slob.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we talked on the phone. She sounded really cool. And she was telling me about her house, how it's her sanctuary, and how when she comes home from work or, you know, from the day or whatever, how she just wants it to be like, you know, a clean, peaceful, wonderful living environment.
Right.
And that just sounds really nice to me. Mm-hmm. You know, and she still wants someone that she could share a bottle of wine with at the end of the night.
Yeah.
I was like, well, how about four?
But she doesn't want you to veg on the couch.
No, well, no. And I don't veg on the couch.
So in other words, pay half the rent, but you can't do whatever you want in the house.
Oh, no. You can do whatever you want in the house.
Okay.
Absolutely.
She just doesn't want someone to be in the house most of the day.
She doesn't want to come back from grocery shopping and have, like, me with, like, 10 of my friends, you know, schlepping around the house and whatever.
Okay.
But so anyway, that was like a month ago, and I was supposed to have a girlfriend in town, and so I was like, well, why don't we meet on Sunday a month ago? And then she never called, so I thought. And then I kind of like lost track of her number. But the cool thing about this lady, which is the one thing you will hate the most, Sam, which is the one thing that drew me to her at first, she's a crazy lizard lady like me. Yes.
Wow.
She has a huge iguana that she said is like just chilling in the bathroom that would be my bathroom.
Yeah. Cool. I'm sure you have company now, and that'll be good.
I know. But so anyway, I lost her number, and I lost her information. And as I was driving home from the show yesterday, I decided to like check my voicemail and just listen to the saved messages that I have on there. And I have this one message from her that she left like 3 weeks ago that was like,
wow.
Hi, Susie, this is Lisa. You know, like, why don't, you know, I don't know if you found a place or if you didn't find a place or if you stopped by and I wasn't here. She's like, but I'd love to have you come by. And I was like, this is like a 3 week ago phone call. I'm sure she's found someone in the meantime.
Right.
But what the hell? I'm just going to call anyway. And so she said, no, you know, I've had tons of people that want to take the room and, like, stay in the house with me, but I really just haven't felt the connection. I was like, crazy lizard girls, here we go, yay. So I went over to the house, and it's a beautiful, beautiful house.
Really?
I mean, it's just a little piece of heaven. It's kind of in the Westwood Bel Air area.
Mm.
So it's nestled Very nice area, nestled in the bottom of a canyon.
Right. You'll be able to ride your bike and stuff.
I'll be able to ride my bike around there. I don't know, it's really close to here. It's close to all the highways and the freeways. And
it is. It's a perfect location. You see, and it's not too far from Brentwood, which I was recommending.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now you're like in the middle of everything.
I know.
You're also close to the valley. You just get on the freeway. You can get to the valley if you need to. Although,
why would I need to go to the valley?
Exactly. Why would you ever want to do that?
Well, for next Tuesday.
But so this is awesome.
I know. This is like.
How old is she?
She's 38, but she looks like she's 25.
Really?
She is stunning.
Well, that's
absolutely
important.
Stunning.
Really?
That was the first thing I noticed about her. And I don't want to say I'm kind of superficial like that, but when you go to when you go to meet a roommate, you kind of want someone that you kind of like. Aesthetically
easy on the eyes.
Easy. Well, like you said, when I was like, why do you want a picture of me when I was applying for this radio gig?
Right.
You're like, because I don't want to sit here for 2 fucking hours and look at a dog.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you want someone to live with that you can kind of like go out with and be kind of on the same page and just kind of have the same aesthetic appeal to men. You know, you also don't want to go out with, like, you know, a dog friend, and I don't know. But she was just so cute right off the bat as soon as I said, you know what, if you'll have me, I'll take the room. And she was like, really? She's like, oh, my God, absolutely. And so she whips out the camera, and she's, like, taking all these pictures of us. And we're doing our funny kissy faces, and we're like, oh, no, now make a sexy face. Oh, now make a happy face. Sultry face. Ooh, come hither face.
Nice. So you really hooked up. You connected,
really,
right?
Yeah. And she's got two cats, which I really like because, I don't know.
So now you're going to have six.
No.
Six cats and two lizards?
Three lizards. Well, four lizards because I have three and she has one.
Oh, okay.
We really are going to be the crazy lizard duo.
Yeah.
But no, my pussies have to go back to the pound tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. There are 2 pounds in over 8 weeks, so now it's time for them to go be adopted.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. It must make you feel nice that you raised them.
It does, but all of a sudden, I don't know, you know, they're not little helpless things anymore. And they really were. When I first got them, they had no control over their arms and legs.
Wow.
And they would, like, try and, like, you know, pat their claw up on me or their paw, and then all of a sudden their claws would get hooked into my leg and they wouldn't know how to retract them.
Yeah.
And so they're like, row, row, like, while they're stuck into my leg and I'm bleeding and I'm like, get off me, you little shit.
Yeah.
No, I'm much more nurturing than
that.
So
you got them when they were really kittens. I mean,
when
really
they were 2 weeks old.
That's when they're cute, you know? I mean, once they grow up, I can't stand cats.
No, right now they're actually really adorable because their personalities are really starting to come out and they're...
I know, and cats do have personalities.
They really do.
Yeah.
You're not a cat person?
No.
You're not a lizard person?
No. No, I mean, I'm... No.
You're just a people person.
I love dogs, but I wouldn't live with one. But I love dogs, yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't like animals in the house, you know. Hair and smell and
well, that's what a vacuum's for.
Yeah,
and
but
they poop outside.
Yeah, but the cats poop inside in the in their thing, and then
well,
it smells.
Well, her cats go outside to go to the bathroom. She keeps the door open all the time, and they just go outside. They kind of crawl up in the canyon. Mm. So there's no litter box, which is actually really nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I know.
I would imagine there's probably a swimming pool there too, right?
There's not a swimming pool. The backyard is kind of, it's a little bit in the process of being reconstructed. Mm. She's an interior designer. And she's amazingly talented, and the house is absolutely beautiful. I love what she's done with the place. But she's continuing to do work on it. Mm-hmm. So in the back, she's kind of working on getting it landscaped to put a hot tub in the back, which will be really cool.
Yeah.
And make it kind of like a Buddhist Zen, like, garden kind of out there.
That's what it sounds like. That's
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. There's nothing like a cool backyard, you know?
I know. And this whole place is really neat because you park kind of on the street level, mm-hmm. and then you've got the garage, which is kind of her studio, and then it kind of goes up. And then above the garage is where my room and bathroom will be. And then, like, attached to that right off of that is the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of goes up again another step to, like, the living area, the living room area. And then you go up again into her loft, which is where she'll be living. And then you go outside, and it's got, like, three more levels of uppityness. I don't know what else to call it. But you just go up and up and up.
So it's an interesting structure, actually.
Structurally, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of built into the mountain and just kind of gradually goes up with it, which I really like.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it is a house. You're not in an apartment anymore.
I'm not going to be.
It's
in
so
one of,
different.
And after 2 days ago, Sam, like, I literally spent the day crying because of the shitty places in Koreatown and John the Building Guy being like, Susie, you're never going to find a place better than this. Susie, he's calling me day in and day out. And finally, I'm going to call him back after this and be like, no, John the Building Guy, I did find something better. So shove your nasty, filthy, disgusting apartment with the blue shag carpet. Ew. Ah. Sorry to anyone out there that has blue shag carpet that likes it. I am not one of those people.
You think there's anybody out there like that?
Probably. I don't know. There's got to be. Yeah. There are all kinds of people out there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Listen, I started reading a book called Traffic, and it's
is
about.
Is it like the book? Is it like the movie?
No.
Oh.
No, it's totally something else.
Okay.
I mean, this is about driving and cars and stuff. And when you think about it, there's not been that many books or discussions about, like, driving. You know, like, for example, he mentions, like, this is. This is a situation where the most number of people get together and they don't talk, you know? It's hard to communicate. You can't communicate with other people,
right?
Oh,
I communicate just fine.
I'm sure you do. But what I'm saying is if someone cuts in front of you, you know, and you might give them the finger or something, they may not even know what they did, you know? So it's like... So we often misunderstand each other in the cars and things like that, you know. And so it's really cool. And I'm probably going to bring you, like, a lot of stories and facts about this because it's, like, fascinating, you know. Like, for example, you know how sometimes you drive on a lane and then it merges to the left or to the right?
Yep.
It, like, ends, right?
Yeah.
Do you merge as soon as you see the sign or do you keep going?
If there's a lot of traffic, I try and stay in the shoulder as long as I possibly can to cut off the traffic and get to the front.
Right, yeah.
I'm that douchebag.
But what happens when you do this, people look at you like you're cutting into the line.
But what I do is I have Massachusetts plates on my car.
Right.
So I kind of smile at them sweetly and I give them the peace sign. And I'm like, sorry. And I put my hands up and I'm kind of like, peace.
Yeah.
And I pretend that I'm just like an out-of-town driver that doesn't have any idea what I'm doing or where I'm going.
Yeah.
So I kind of use that to my advantage. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, peace, thank you,
right,
thank
but
you.
Don't you think you're affecting the traffic, maybe creating a traffic jam there?
No. I help the traffic.
There you go. You see? And that's one thing that I was reading there that's really interesting. And he says if you're like a late, what did he call it? Like, I don't know, a late merger.
Late
merger.
Okay.
Where you wait to the last minute. If you notice, it's always, that lane is usually empty because everybody moves over to the other lane at the same time. When they see the sign. So if you keep going, you're going to, you know, you actually, because the traffic works on the basis of utilizing all the space you can. Mm. So if everybody moves to the other lane and this one stays empty, you're not really maximizing the traffic flow.
Well, so long as I don't cut someone off at the last second and force that person behind me to slam on their brakes and the person behind them to slam on their brakes, yeah, creating like a chain effect of everyone slamming on their brakes, which is kind of what traffic is.
Yeah.
You know, so long as I could sneak in with my little car and just kind of keep the flow of traffic moving.
Right.
I mean, again, Sam, the rules don't really apply to me in my car, out of my car. And I've just kind of, I've got it figured out. I've got a science to it. Yeah. I mean, if you drive with me in New York City, oh my God, you will freak out. It's absolutely so much fun.
Really?
I love it, yeah.
Why is it different there than here?
Because you have to drive the way I drive in New York City if you want to get anywhere, or else you will be stuck sitting and not moving anywhere with all the cabs and all the other people just cutting you off and the messenger bikes swerving in and out, and you will just be stuck. Mm. You will be just sitting there in the kill zone waiting for someone to come and get you. It's always been my dream to kind of have those taxi bars, those little bumper things that they have in the front of their car.
Yeah, like police cars.
Ah, God, that's my dream. Get out of my way.
I know. So many times I've wanted to do that. But then, you see, that's the thing again.
It's not very nice.
We can't. No, it's not. But that's the thing is we can't communicate on the road. You know, all you're seeing is a car. You don't realize there's a person inside.
I do, too. That's why I give them the peace sign when I cut them off.
You do. Maybe they think it's the finger.
No, because I don't know. All right, another time I communicated with someone, and we communicated quite clearly. I was driving in Nebraska. I had just stopped at Taco Bell, and I had gotten two bean burritos. I ate one, and I felt like I was going to puke. I was like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? So I got the other bean burrito, like, sitting there kind of solidifying in its nastiness in the car seat next to me. And, you know, the speed limit was like 80. I was going 100 miles an hour in the fast lane, passing everyone else in the slow lane. And this douchebag comes up behind me, just tailgating me. I'm going 100, okay? That's way fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden, he's just like really on my ass. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to fuck with you. So I slam my brakes a little bit.
Right.
And he kind of has to back off. And he's like, uh-oh. Right. And then, you know, he just keeps doing this. And he's giving me the finger left and right. And I'm like, you know what, buddy? I'm going fast enough, but I feel like I'm in control of my speed. So now I'm just kind of like slowing down to just piss him off. And then speeding up and letting him think he can pass. And he is just going nuts, giving me the finger. Now, if that's not communication, I don't know what is. But so I finally decide, this man needs to be taught a lesson. So I unwrap the bean burrito, and I unroll my window, and I huck the bean burrito, flying beans and bean schmegma out the window, like spiraling out of control until it goes splat.
Do you know how fucking illegal that is?
I don't care.
You could have caused him a fucking accident.
I know. Now, looking back on that, I was like 18 at the time, and I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
But I did teach the fucker a lesson.
But people do get vindictive on the road.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I'm sometimes guilty of that, too. But then, you know, it's like, you see somebody's trying. What I don't understand is you see sometimes people trying to merge into another lane. They have their signal on, and still the guy that's behind him is going to speed up and not let them merge in. Now, my question is why? I mean, why play these games here, you know? I mean, the person has to get out in the next exit
because or something.
Because
my appointment is more important than their appointment, and I have to get there now, because I live in L.A. and I'm self-absorbed, and my appointment is most important.
But it's not about that. It's about, I'm not going to let him in front of me. You know,
because people think that their appointment is the most important, and that if they're one car lane ahead of someone, that they are going to get there a little bit faster. I mean, it's just like whenever you cut someone off, and all of a sudden, so I do this all the time, not all the time, but you cut someone off just because, and you just, you speed ahead, and then next thing you know, I'm stuck at a red light, and that person's sitting behind me a minute later, and I'm just like, fuck. Shit.
Yeah.
This sucks. And my face is red and embarrassed. And like, they'll pull up next to me and they'll roll down the window and they'll look at me. And I'll either smile sweetly and give them the peace sign or, you know, I'll turn the music up and dance and pretend I'm ignoring them and that I didn't know what I was doing. But it's like situations like that when you're just like, oh, it's like you're caught red handed just being a bitch for no reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really think it is like kind of a self absorbed culture phenomenon when people do that.
Yeah.
They just.
I think because people feel entitled when they're driving, you know, and people forget it's a
privilege.
A privilege, you know. I mean, it's not something that anybody owes you, and it's not your road, it's not your space, and the space
Speaking
in front
of which,
of you.
Don't let me forget to go to court.
When are you going to court?
September 5th.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So please don't let me forget. Listeners, if you remember to, mark it down on your calendar because I'm really going to forget. And then my privilege of driving will be revoked.
Maybe you should take a secret recorder with you. We'll wire you.
Ooh.
And then we can hear what's going on in the
No,
court.
I'm scared. The judge that I saw last time was so mean.
Really?
Yeah. But the only person he was lenient to, I don't know if I told you, was to the single mother who had like a 2.5-year-old kid with her. Yeah. We were talking about this when we were talking about the smoking right. in the cars. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking the people I nanny for, I'm like, can I borrow your kid next week? It's like, I'll bring him to court. The yeah. father was like, oh, sure, go for it. I don't think the mom was like nearly as happy with that.
Yeah. So your cute faces didn't work with the judge this time.
Well, they made me wait in a line for, because I'd already like changed the appointment once because I knew it was going to be a really hefty fine and I really didn't want to pay $500. I didn't want to throw $500 away on this.
Yeah.
So I changed it to kind of delay the inevitable. And then I was supposed to go directly to court, but the sheet said to go to this other room, and I went to the room and I waited in line for an hour, at which point court was over. and so they said I didn't show up to court. While I was there, I was like, yeah. I did show up to court. You know, the lady downstairs just told me to go here, so that's where I went. It's not my fault. Mm-hmm. So, no, it doesn't matter what kind of face you put on. The judge was just, he's like, no, Ms. Raleigh? Rah, rah, rah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Jerk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you imagine so if you had that much power over people.
I know.
You'd probably be a jerk, too.
I know. Well, no, maybe not.
They're fucking lawyers, man. I mean, what do you expect?
Well, there's, I don't know why they have such antiquated judges. I mean, there really should be like, I don't know, a statute of limitations with the...
with
they're like 900 years old sitting there, and it's like, dude, you really don't understand what it's like out there. Like, can you even see? Do you even have a driver's license? Like, no.
Yeah.
Actually, now you're making me feel bad.
Why?
Because, I don't know, in my new house area where I live, getting from there, well, where I don't live yet, but where I will live, getting from there yesterday, heading back to Venice, I had to go to the 405, and from the 405... I have to hop over to the 10,
right.
and I completely ignore all of the traffic that is like in the 8 lanes on the other side, and I just happily pretend I'm about to get off on the Olympic exit, and then at the last second I veer back in, and I cut back into the other cars, and then I pretend I'm going to get off at the Santa Monica exit, and I'm like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, and I'm not getting off there either, so at the last second I swerve back in, and I cut off some big truck that, you know, didn't step in the gas fast enough to keep the cars... like tightly in line.
Yeah.
And then I happily hop on the 10 without having been in any traffic on the 405.
Yeah. No, I know. Does it seem to you sometimes like the world is moving in slow motion?
I just think the other people are stupid for sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, dude, go somewhere else.
I sometimes feel like people are moving in slow motion. You know?
I don't go slow-mo.
Because but that's the thing, is that you get irritated because you want to go faster, they're going slow, and you're trying to move around them and stuff. And But there's no justification for it. I mean, you're not going to make it maybe 2 minutes faster. But
no, I make it like half an hour faster.
No, you don't.
I'll drive on the shoulder if needs be. I got pulled over for driving on the shoulder once doing this in Denver.
Really?
I was trying to get up to mountains to go see my boyfriend. Uh-huh. So a cop, an unmarked cop, pulls me over because I was going for like a mile on the shoulder. I'm like, haha, suckers. And so this unmarked cop pulls me over, and this big burly black man comes up, and he's like, just give me one good reason, little girl. What in God's name are you doing? And so I actually had my lizard at the time, the lizard you met here the other day.
Yes.
I had that lizard's father on my dashboard. And so I look at the cop, and I... and I just start crying at the top of my lungs, and I grab the lizard from the dashboard and I shove it in his face. And I was like, I make up this story like at the last second. My boyfriend stepped on my lizard and he crushed his rib cage, and I have to, I've got to get to a herpetologist in Beaver Creek. It's the only one in Colorado because my lizard's going to die. Wow. And the cop was looking at me and he looked at the lizard. And he's like, it's going to die? I was like, it's going to die right now if I don't get to Vail. And he's like, okay, Vail and Beaver Creek are the same place.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you should have told me that sooner. And he's like, well, let me give you a police escort. It's dangerous to drive on the shoulder. So he pulled around me, turned on his lights, and gave me a police escort to my exit.
You're fucking evil.
So I'm so fucking evil. So I wipe the tears as I'm getting my police escort. And what do? Call my dad. Daddy, guess what? Guess what I just got out of? And I tell him the story, and he's like, you're such a fucking brat. You're never going to fucking learn. And I'm just like, I know. I don't have to learn because I'm not going to get caught. So take that.
You better be careful, though.
I know. I've gotten much better in my old age.
Yeah.
I've calmed down a lot.
I know. I mean, you're like shot out of a fucking cannon. You know what they say? It's like you have no God. You have no fear of anything. You know?
I have fear. I've got, I don't know.
Or at least that's what you're trying to project. I'm sure inside it's a whole different story.
Years ago, yes. I mean, I was definitely like that. I was completely reckless. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, I mean, I still have a lot of that in me, but I don't know. I'm like, when I go skiing, for instance, back in the day, I would go flying off jumps. I would break my ankle. I would break my wrist. I would not give a fuck about anything. I would go, you know, flying through the trees on a snowboard, not wearing a helmet, like risking, you know, splattering my head against something. To this day and age, I'll go skiing. I won't be drunk when I go skiing or stoned. I'll have maybe like one beer at lunch, but I won't do anything that I used to do. Because I'm like, you know what, if I hurt myself, I'm not going to be able to go to work as a bartender, yeah. which I was usually doing at the time, and I won't be able to work, and then I won't be able to have insurance, and then I won't be able to do this. So I think a little bit more about the consequences of things nowadays.
Yeah. Good.
Just a little bit.
I'm glad to hear that.
Not completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I still cut off people on the 405, but
yeah.
I don't know.
So that's good. So I'm glad you found a place. And,
yeah.
It'll take some getting used to and stuff, but...
I know. It's so weird. Like, I was in my shower this morning, and I was like, in 2 weeks, I won't be in my shower. I'll be in someone else's shower.
There you go.
And I was like, interesting.
Yeah.
And then the fronds.
Now,
moving
is a bitch.
I know.
Moving is a bitch.
That is kind of... It's a daunting task ahead of me. Yeah. Because,
do you have a lot of stuff?
I do have a lot of stuff, and I actually... Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of furniture, like a couch and like two ottomans and a chair and a kitchen table and a lot of, like... antique desks and dressers and things like that.
Where
and
do you fit all that in your studio?
I build upward. It's so funny because the girl who lives next door to my apartment is a complete minimalist. And her apartment is the exact same size as mine. And this isn't even all my stuff. I've got stuff in Canada. I've got stuff in Colorado. I've got a storage unit in New York and two in Massachusetts.
Wow.
But so people will walk by and like see her apartment and then they're going to come to mine and they're like, why don't you get the girl's apartment next to you? Like, hers is so much bigger. I was like, no, it's not. It's the same size. Yeah. They're like, really? They're like, no, it's not. And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So I literally
built... Do you hoard things?
I don't know. I get, like, attached to things. Yeah. So right now, I can't decide if I'm going to, like, sell my furniture or if I'm just going to put it in storage.
So you can't get attached to people, so you get attached to things.
I just get attached to... I don't know. Like, the hippie people that live in the commune across the way mm-hmm. were kind of, like, trying to, like, preach to me and tell me a lesson. They're like, you know, it's just things, you know, blah, blah, blah. These things really don't matter. And I was like, well, what about my antique desk that I've had in my family for, like, 200 years?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's, you know, that's something that's a thing.
Yeah.
And it's not something I particularly use because it's really fragile, but it's not something I will just toss away.
Right.
Sell
it on eBay or something.
But it's something that I want my daughter to have.
I see. Okay, so you want to pass it on from one generation.
I want to pass these things on.
I see.
Like, and I don't know. I have a lot of clothes that I might not wear right now or that might have, like, gone out of fashion. But they were really expensive.
Yeah.
And who knows if I'll ever be able to afford buying them again.
Right.
And I consider a lot of fashion an investment.
That's true, because things come back. Fashions come back all the time.
Like, what That's do you... True. I'm sure you have some old clothes from, like, the 70s.
No, I don't.
Are you kidding?
I don't.
You didn't save anything?
No, I didn't save anything because I've moved around so many times that I couldn't possibly take everything with me.
I just pack it all in a truck and have it shipped out to wherever I am.
No. I mean, there's always... Because I moved out of the country and shit like that. You know, where do you take all this stuff?
So, storage.
So you sell it. You know, I went through a divorce. You sell everything then.
She gets so half. It's like, you get half.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, so I've never been able to... keep some things. One of the things I really wish I'd kept is comic books that I had, you know, and I was really taking care of them and stuff. I mean, and I wasn't young. I mean, this was like right before my kids were born. So, you know, and I had some really cool ones, but I guess with the divorce, they sort of disappeared.
Aww.
And that was a pain. Yeah, it was painful.
One thing I really wish I hadn't gotten rid of that I collected when I was younger, I used to read all of the Nancy Drew books.
Oh, yeah, I remember
like the old school Nancy Drew books, and I used to have all the antique, like, hardcover ones, and I think I had, like, 110 of them.
Uh-huh.
And then when my parents got divorced, we had, like, a garage sale to get rid of, like, a lot of shit, and I, at the time, I'm like, I want to make some money, you know, everyone else is making money, I'm going to sell them. And now I really wish I had them.
Yeah.
Those things are classic collector's items.
That's true. Yeah, who knows, you know, but you got to make room for new stuff. You know, you can't constantly keep things. I like to keep boxes of things, you know, because I always buy like electronics and computers and shit like this. And I love the boxes, you know, and then we end up having like a whole fucking closet full of empty boxes.
Oh, I know.
So every couple months, my wife does like a house cleaning and gets rid of all of it, you know. But
So do you have a lot of storage at your house, Sam?
No, not really. No.
You sure? You don't have any extra space?
No. I really don't.
For some of my boxes?
No, I've got a lot of shit that I really don't need. I mean, but small things, you know.
Maybe we should have like a Sam and Susie in the morning garage sale.
Garage sale. There you go. You should definitely do one now that you're moving. You know, you don't want to take everything with you.
I know.
Those are good opportunities to do that.
It's a good book. You can't take it with you.
Yeah. There you go.
Good play.
Yeah. So what are you going to do with the furniture? Are you going to put it in storage or what?
Oh, Janique really wants my couch. She loves it. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think couches at this point in time are disgusting. I'm like, seriously, do you know how many people have had sex on that couch? Yeah. and you can't really wash. Oh, we've had this conversation before.
We did.
And so I kind of like feel wrong like giving it to my friend. I'm like, no, you know, buy a new couch. Like, yeah. Start over. So who knows? I might try and sell it on eBay or Craigslist or whatever. And because it is a really nice couch and I really do like it.
Yeah.
But out with the old, in with the new. I'm going to try this.
Yeah, exactly. You don't really need it anymore.
I need to downsize. I really do.
Yeah.
But my clothing is kind of, that's going to be the hardest thing.
Really?
I get very attached to it.
Yeah. And you have a lot of clothes? Really?
Yes.
So when do you get a chance to wear them all? I mean, most people have a lot of clothes, but they only wear like 10% of them.
I wear even less than 10% of it. I usually wear like 1% to 2%. Like my typical... I hope you appreciate that I've actually been like branching out a little bit into my wardrobe coming in here.
I've noticed, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Normally I just wear like the same pair of jeans or a pair of shorts or a mini skirt and a wife beater. Like that is my and a pair of flip flops. Like that is my uniform. But I have like 400 pairs of shoes.
I was going to ask about the shoes because that's one thing that women are totally whacked out of their brains.
Yep.
Okay, so how many shoes do you think you have?
400.
Wait a minute. Excuse me.
Did I just shock you?
I think
you?
I heard 400.
400, yeah.
400 pairs of shoes.
Yep, yep.
When was the last time you counted them?
When I put them away when I got the kitties about 6 weeks ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
400.
You look so like incredulous right now. You're like, are you fucking kidding me?
I mean, this is more than Imelda Marcus had. You know, how many did she have? 3,000. Okay.
3,000.
Yeah.
So, trust me, I'm nowhere near as bad as half of the women in LA.
But I mean, why the fuck do you need all these shoes?
I don't need them, but what if I do need them?
But you won't.
But what if I do?
Then you'll do without.
You can't do without.
Else. Why?
I don't know. Like, I've got this awesome pair of cowboy boots that were specially made for me. It took them 2 years to make these boots.
Really?
They're custom made, like completely molded to my
foot. Well, obviously something like this you would not.
But I never wear them.
No way. Yeah.
But my names, they're made out of pink lizard skin. My name or my initials like embroidered into them. I could never throw them away, but I really never wear them.
Yeah.
You know, when am I going to have the opportunity to wear pink lizard skin boots in LA?
Yeah.
I mean, really. I actually was thinking about wearing them today just because I haven't worn them in so long, ever. And also, here's the other problem with them. I can barely get them on by myself. They're very hard to get on, but I definitely can't get them off. The one time I did wear them, I got home at night and I couldn't take them off. I had to go to sleep in the fucking boots until I could go downstairs and wake up a neighbor the next day and have him take them off.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. That's happened to me with boots a couple times.
I know.
That sucks.
And then, like, high heels. You know, I've got, like, a couple pairs of, like, Manolos that are, like, ridiculously expensive that I'll maybe wear once every 5 years. Mm. But, you know, they're, like, $1,500 shoes.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know. Those are, like, an investment. Something very classic that I'll wear for the rest of my life. Yeah. If I ever, you know, have, like, a stuffy office job or something like that. Who knows?
Not an investment. Investment is something that goes up in value. Okay.
Well,
but no, I mean,
these are an investment.
$1,500, so you should wear them every once in a while, do you?
But I don't have an event to wear them to right now.
Oh,
I see. They're black patent leather heels that are like really, they're really old and like classic looking. Mm. They're kind of like little cutout shoes. But the last time I wore them was to a Spinazzola event in Boston, which is like the society event, like sponsored by American Express and Anthony Spinazzola. Uh-huh. It was like all of the hottest restaurants and wineries and restaurants, and you just go around and do like a little tasting of all these things. And my sister and I went, and we just got absolutely wasted.
Really?
And my best friend Michael, who took me, he's kind of like a very really high society kind of person.
Right.
And so he took me as his date. Go figure. Like Mr. High Society, like, you know, he's really good friends with like Ted Kennedy and just like all these politicians and famous people. Uh-huh. And so he chooses to take me to like represent I don't know what. But so my sister and I are there. We just proceed to get absolutely wasted. And, like, the pictures are so funny because when I get drunk, I like to take pictures, and I can't keep my leg down for some reason. like my leg is always like up in the air, like not around my neck, but just like pointed up really high.
In the pictures that you take?
In every picture. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing, like some fancy like ball gown and these like
manolos. Or you make that face like you're sucking a cock or something.
It's face? My surprise face. I'm just like, oh. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like you're ready to suck something.
No, it doesn't. It does, get really. Your mind out of the gutter.
I'm not. I mean, I'm looking at those
pictures. And not that mine's not going, right there with you, but... No, I'll bring in the calendar of these pictures, but I mean, you could totally, I don't know, see some nether regions when my legs like literally stuck up in the air.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know why I do that.
You don't know why you do that?
It's kind of like a Rockette style kick.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. But so anyway, we're in the middle of like the society event and I'm wearing my Manolos and my sister and I are wasted and my leg is just like high, like high as can be. Actually, that day, my sister and I were supposed to be going to Hilton Head, South Carolina, the very next day for my dad's 60th birthday, which I told you about. But because I got so wasted, I almost didn't get on the plane the next morning. Do you know what an eye gallop is? Did we talk about this?
No. Oh, yeah. That.
The very next day was when I bought the eye gallop. I was still wasted when I got to the airport in North Carolina to transfer planes. Yeah. And I was so hammered that I decided to buy the eye gallop.
Yeah. That's that exercise machine that looks
like a mechanical bull.
Yeah.
But you can actually
masturbate on this, right?
No, you can't actually. Well, I mean, you might be able to. It seems to be a little bit difficult. What did you call it? Like you said, Howard Stern has one, and the girls mount it.
Oh, yeah. That's the...
not a Segway.
No. I can't believe I just totally went blank. The Sibian.
Sibian. Yes. Right. Well, when you asked me what that was, I was like, I don't know what that is. Yeah. But apparently I did know what it was, just not in that name.
Yeah. So that's the eye gallop.
Yes.
Which is collecting dust in your backyard or something.
Outside of my backyard, it is. My girlfriend, Morgan, who wants to come on the show and be a guest, my surf instructor.
Right.
TJ, I'm not paralyzed, by the way.
Oh, did you go surfing yesterday?
Oh, we tried to. The surf was a little bit blown out by the time I got there.
Yeah?
But TJ, could I tell them what TJ was saying?
Sure.
TJ came into the office yesterday, or into our studio, and he was like, you're going surfing right now? He's like, don't go surfing, you're going to be paralyzed. Because apparently, like, new surfers that don't really know how exactly to surf, and, like, they'll pinch a nerve or something in their back and like, just lose feeling completely and be paralyzed. Really? Like, I don't understand that. That's not possible.
That's what he said.
He's making that up.
You think so?
I think he makes a lot of things up. I think he just likes the sound of his own voice. At TJ. I'm waiting for him to come press his face against the window and just give me a death stare.
Soon. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. He's going to be away next week, I think. He's going to New York and stuff. So.
Is someone filling in a show?
Yeah. No, we just do replays and stuff.
Oh.
So, yeah.
I didn't know that was an option.
Yeah, it is. People don't have to be here if they can't. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah.
I was wondering about that. What happens?
Yeah. No, we've got replays. We got so many archives and stuff, you know, so we just... play cool. That, you know. So, let me let everybody know, although they probably won't remember, but next week we're going to be out Thursday and Friday.
Yep.
Because you're going out of town, and I figured maybe I will too.
Take a break.
Know? We need a break.
You need a break.
I just took one 3 weeks ago in San Diego, but I'll take another one. I need to take them small spurts because I can't go away for too long.
I like to do that too. I like to do lots of little trips.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Lots of little trips. And I don't know. So I'll be in Vegas next week visiting my daddy-o and his girlfriend and my sister.
That'll be cool.
I know. I'm really excited. My sister and I are going to get into so much trouble.
Yeah. Do you ever gamble when you go there?
Oh, I gamble lots. Really? I love to gamble.
Really?
With other people's money, of course.
Yeah. Never mind. The way to do it.
I know.
OPM.
My dad's really funny. He's just like, all right, here you girls go. $1,000, go play craps. And we're just like, whee! Actually, though, can I tell you something funny? Back when I used to go to the Safari Club International in Reno, mm-hmm. You know, I was always, like, kind of poor at that point in time and just, like, a struggling bartender, like, paying my way through school. But I would always kind of, like, save enough money to go to the Safari Club and see my friends from Africa. But so that was in Reno, and it would always come, like, at a point where school was about to be starting, like, the next week, and I would have to buy my books. Right. And so I have this coy little act where, you know, I'll put on kind of, like, a white dress, and I'll look, like, very pure and innocent, and I can make myself look that way.
I'm sure you can. It's not that hard.
But so I'll kind of stand by a table, a craps table, where all these guys are playing, and I usually try and target, you know, upper middle class college guys that are kind of on their break or whatever. And so I'll kind of like stand like coyly behind the table, and they'll be, you know, into their game, and then one of them will notice me at some point. Oh, hey, baby, you want to play? And I'm like, oh, no, no, I'm a virgin. I don't know how to play. And all of a sudden, the one will hear me say that, boys, we got a virgin at the table. Oh, and they'll smack me on the ass, and they'll, like, usher me up to the table and make room, make room. And I'm like, oh, no, no, really, guys, it's my first time. I can't. And they're like, oh, no, sweetheart, we got virgin blood. Yeah, 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 wow. As I'm wearing white. And so they're like, here's what you do. And they, like, hand me the dice, and they're like, you throw these, and you try and do this, and like this. And I'll kind of throw it, and, like, I'll mess it up and, like, knock over a pile of chips or, like, you know, one of the die, I'll bounce off the table. And they're like, no, 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 try it again. And I'll get the hang of it, quote unquote. And next thing you know, I'm making them tons of money. And all of a sudden, because whenever people feel the vibe that there's, like, a virgin at the table or that they've got fresh blood, for some reason, the energy always turns really positive at the table. Mm-hmm. And people always just end up winning. It's unbelievable. I've done this probably, like, 10 or 12 times.
Really?
But then once I start winning everyone money, they give me tips.
Yeah.
They're giving me $20 chips, like,
you know,
$100 chips. And next thing you know, I've got, like, $800 in chips. And I just keep putting them in my pocket as I'm going along. I'm so slick when it comes to doing this. It's so wrong. And then I'm like, okay, guys, gotta go. They're like, whoa, sweetheart. We got you liquored up. We taught you how to play craps. You got all the tips and money from us.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to bed. Yeah. And I gotta fly home tomorrow. They're like, what? You gotta go out and get wasted with us and, like, hook up with one of us tonight. And I'm like, no. Yeah. Ta-da.
You know what I like about you, what I admire about you?
What?
Is that you've mastered, this thing of
called life.
No, but putting on that act, what I'm saying is you recognize the power that you have and you know how to use it to perfection. And I admire that. I really do, because I believe in use everything that nature gives you, you know. And so you shouldn't have any bad feelings about it. I mean, that's what you were given, and you're going to make the best out of it.
You know what? I would, too. I attribute
it
all to the way that I was raised, like doing the commercials and things. Mm. It's like, I don't know, for instance, this is a little bit of a sad, downer story, but, you know, one day I watched my dog get hit by a car, and it was, like, really, really sad. I think I was, like, 8 or 9 years old. And my mom, like, saw me, like, crying, and she was like, Susie, you can't cry right now. You've got to shoot a commercial tomorrow. You can't have puffy eyes. And I was like, okay. And so at, like, 8.5 years old, I stopped crying. I wiped my eyes.
Wow.
And, I was sad on the inside, but the next day, I was like, here's Wendell and me. Here are the smartest teachers in my school. Look and learn, class. Uh-huh. And I'm doing the Cinnamon Toast Crunch commercial, and I am smiling, and I'm having a grand old time. But you know what I mean? I learned how to put on a very good act and a very good face and to kind of be a chameleon and blend into whatever
and
situation I needed to.
And you were not allowed to feel.
I was allowed to feel. I just wasn't really allowed to show it. Or express it so much.
Same thing.
Yeah. Well, I definitely still felt, and I still feel. I've said a million times, I'm not a heartless bitch, but...
No, by no means. I mean, you have a good vibe about you and stuff, but it's not about being a bitch. It's about just, as a kid, if you're stifled, if you're told, don't cry, don't do this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you learn to keep things inside, and then
definitely.
It just boils up, festers in there.
Which is why I'm so repressed. Which is why I act out. This is why I act out. Now we're getting to the deep root of it.
Yes. We're only touching the surface. And we're at the end of the show, Susie.
Already?
I know you're disappointed.
Aww.
Our guest never showed up, but who gives
Sucker.
A shit, right? Yeah. If he thinks he's going to reschedule, I got something new for him. Nobody fucking flakes out on me and comes back.
Fuck them.
Yep. And so you got any big plans for the weekend?
Tonight is the Laugh Out Loud Olympics bike ride. I call it like the Special Olympics of our bike rides. We're going to get hammered and have just like various events on bicycles.
Really?
Different races, bike jousting.
And what direction do you usually go? Which way do you go on your bike?
I have no... Actually, if anyone wants to join us, you can go to Midnight Ridas, RIDAZZ.com. Mm-hmm. Go to the photo gallery and look up Crank Mob archives, and you'll see crazy pictures of me in lingerie getting cake licked off my ass on my bike. I mean, there are all kinds of fucking crazy things. Me and my Wonder Woman cape trying to get the police to not arrest the Franz and his orange hot pants. I mean, we've got all of these things really documented. But yeah, so seriously, if any of you out there are cyclists and want to join, or even if you just have a bike and you barely know how to ride it, that works too, because sometimes we get drunk and fall off them anyway.
Really?
But so midnightriders.com. And yeah, check out some of our rides. And tomorrow is like tomorrow's Crank Mob. That's the biggest ride of all.
Really?
And we call this, it happens the first Saturday after the third Friday of every month. Mm-hmm. So that's how you'll know when it is.
I see.
You got that, Sam?
No, but thanks for
the first Saturday.
That's okay. I'll listen to the
after replay. The third Friday of every month. yeah, so come and meet us out on this bike ride. It's going to be so much fun. We just get totally debaucherous, and it's unbelievable.
Sounds good.
I promise a good time to be had by all.
Yeah. And start going through your stuff also and sift out like what you're not going to take, because you don't want to leave it to the last minute. You know, start moving stuff. Like, if you do it gradually, you know, although sometimes I just soon just do it all at once and that's it, you know?
I know. I think I'm just going to have like some girlfriends come over and we'll start going through my closet, and like ones that live like in Canada or like colder climates that are going back to school. I'll be like, okay, now you take these sweaters and you take these coats, because I have all this stuff out here I don't need.
Yeah. If you need some help, just call
me. Actually, maybe your daughter would like to come over and like come through my stuff too.
I don't think so.
Oh, well, fine. Shoot me down.
No. It's not you. It's her.
You don't think we get along?
No, I don't think we get along.
Oh.
She and me. But that's another story altogether. But what I was going to say is, if you need some help, I'd be
are you
glad,
offering?
Yeah, I'd be glad to come and supervise all the people that are moving the stuff.
Oh, thank you so much, Sam. That's so sweet of you.
I know.
To sit sit on your couch and point.
Exactly. Oh, yes. You need someone to oversee everything.
Don't chop that box. Chop, chop.
You need someone to oversee
Fucker.
Everything.
Thank you for the offer.
No, but seriously, don't ask me, because I'm not going to do it.
And on that note, we'll see you guys Monday.
Yes, ma'am. Take care. Whoops, wait a minute, let's do this again. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.